Text for our meditation this morning comes from John chapter 1. We read verses 6 through 13. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Dear friends in Christ, a little while back, I was working on homework late at night in the seminary, and I had my bike with me, and I had to go bike home to my parents' house. My parents live at the end of Prof Row up here at Emmanuel. So if you've ever been on Prof Row at night, you'll know it gets quite dark. I think there's only one street light on the whole stretch. So this night as I was biking home, I realized quickly that the one street light that there was burnt out. And not only that, but there was thick cloud cover that night, so the little moonlight that would have been shining down was also blocked out. But it was fine because about 3/4 of the way down the road, I had just enough light from the houses that I could still see where I was going. But after I got within the last couple hundred feet, there was no more light from any of the houses. So all of a sudden, I was biking full speed into this pitch black darkness. It felt like, as I was biking, someone had thrown a bag or a blanket over my head. Now, it's at times like these where you realize the importance of light. Light is important for us to do many things safely, not just biking, but it's important for us to do all sorts of activities like work. It's important for our growth. It's important for our health. Well, today in our text, John is going to be telling us about the most important light, which is Jesus Christ. He is the truly important light because he is important for our true growth and our true life. We'll see in our text that Jesus first shined his light on us, and now he wants us to reflect that light onto others. So as we're thinking about light and its blessings, we'll turn now to the true light of God's Word. So first, we're going to be looking at verse 13 and how John, in that verse, is talking about Christians and how Christians come to faith and who deserves the credit for that faith. He says, "Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So we're going to break this down into three different parts about who deserves credit for us coming to faith. First of all, we're told that a Christian isn't born of blood. So when John was writing this, the Jews felt that because they were children of Abraham, because they had Jewish blood coursing through their veins, that was good enough. That was what made them children of God, and they'd be saved because of that. John's telling them, no, that's not the case. In the same way, he's telling us, it doesn't matter that you're born to a long line of church-going Christians. It doesn't matter if you're father or your grandfather was a pastor. He's saying saving faith isn't genetic. Secondly, he tells us that a Christian isn't born of the will of the flesh. You can think of this as your own will. So you can't become a Christian just because you really want to be one. You can't decide one day to accept Christ into your heart and come to faith in that way. No, this is one thing that's beyond our power. As 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Lastly, he tells us that a Christian isn't born of the will of man. So you can think of this as someone else's will for you. So you aren't a Christian because your parents really wanted you to be one, or a loved one wanted you to be one. You can't make a loved one or a friend or a spouse become a Christian. We can't force faith into someone's heart. No. We aren't Christians because we were born as Christians. We aren't Christians because we accepted Christ ourselves. We aren't Christians because someone else made us be Christians. Rather, we're told that a child of God is born of God. So the fact that you do have faith in your heart, the fact that you believe in Christ as your Savior, this is due to God alone, and the credit only belongs to God. Just like it'd be ridiculous for a child to be born from his mother here on earth and then to take credit for the successful birth, that's how ridiculous it would be for any one of us to take credit after being born of God as children of God. We didn't come to faith because we accepted Christ, but we came to faith because Christ shined His light on us, vanquishing the darkness of our unbelief. And now He has declared us to be children of God. Now, while we are able to see because we have seen the light, think about the millions and billions of people in the world around us who are blind, unable to see because they're in the darkness of their unbelief. They've never seen the light of Christ. And they're unaware of the danger that's awaiting them in the darkness. What can we do to help these people see? Well, you can do what John the Baptist did before us. We read verses 6 through 8. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. So God had sent John the Baptist beforehand, before Christ, to prepare the way for Christ, to witness about that light which brought him to faith to others. In other words, John wasn't sent to be the light, but he was sent to be the reflector, reflecting the light onto the darkness around him. And you can think of your calling as Christians, as children of God, in the same way. You also have been called to be reflectors of Christ's light. And how do we do this? Well, we do it by telling others the same message that brought each one of us to faith. That while we were still dead, while we were still blind in the darkness of our unbelief and sin, Christ came down for our sakes. And He lived on our behalf and died in our place. So that after shining the light on our hearts, and after we came to faith, He declared that we had salvation. We would live with Him eternally. This is the message that God wants you to reflect onto others. Now, if you're anything like me, you like driving around at night during Christmas time and looking at all the different lights in people's yards. I enjoy looking at the light displays, some extremely extravagant light displays in people's yards. Now, when you're driving around looking for these lights, sometimes you turn down a street that's completely dark. You go past a dozen houses, and not only are there no lights out there, there's not even a Christmas tree showing through the window. I think when that happens, it can be a little bit disappointing. Not that there's anything wrong with not having lights out at your house, but if you are looking for Christmas lights and you go down a dark street, it gets a little disappointing. Well, think about now about all of the houses in the world, not with regards to their Christmas lights, but think about all the houses in the world that are darkened because they don't have the light of Christ in their hearts, because they've never seen the light of Christ. As we prepare for Christmas, we prepare for the joy of our Savior's birth. It makes you wonder about how many people around us don't know that joy, who haven't seen that light of Christ. We know that God, our Savior, desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But is that what we want? Do we want everyone to be saved? Do we strive to share the word so that everyone else can come to know the truth? Well, it seems like from our actions, this might not be the case. Honestly, I think that we might tend to get a little more disappointed when we go past a house that doesn't have any Christmas lights up than we are by the fact that there are billions of people around us that are darkened by their unbelief. But though we do fail in this way, and I think we all fail in this way often, we can rejoice knowing that Christ's light has shined through our unbelief, and that He brought us to faith in this fact, that when Christ came on that Christmas morning and was born in a manger so that He could die for our sakes, He did that for the sake of us sinners. And He paid the price of all of our sins, even the sin which we just talked about, so that before our God in heaven, we are free of any guilt. So this Advent season, as we prepare for the joy at our Savior's birth in Bethlehem, when we remember what Christ has done for us, think also about the calling which God has called you to do. He has called each one of you to be reflectors of His light, to reflect the same life-giving light which He shined on you, and reflect that onto those around you. Isaiah 9:2 says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. We can be assured that this statement is exactly true of each one of us. Now may the Lord use us so that this statement becomes true of others as well. Lord, grant this to us all. We'll close our chapel by singing hymn 344, verses 1 and 5. 344, 1 and 5.